Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Every Friday is a Rouse's Football Friday here at WWL. And Jeff Palermo is brought to you by Rouse's, the official supermarket of LSU. Good morning, Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist and Louisiana Network News Director. How are you?
I am doing well, Tommy. How about yourself?
I am okay, sir. It's Friday. How bad could we be, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Should tell people 50% chance for showers, highs of 56 today. Tomorrow, 90% chance for rain, 70% on Sunday, highs of 59 Saturday, 70 Sunday. Then it settles down by Monday afternoon, I think, is what they're saying. Let's talk about LSU's recruiting class, because you got a nice article posted at WWL.com.
Well, right now it's small, considering what some of the other schools have, but there is certainly a quality over quantity with this recruiting class, and it starts with the nation's best defensive tackle signing with LSU officially yesterday, and that is Richard Anderson from Edna Carr, one of his teammates, Aiden Hall, a really big body, speedy safety, also signing with LSU. I think it's pretty impressive that Lane has been able to kind of keep this group together. We're still waiting to hear on Lamar Brown, who is the nation's number one overall player. He's a defensive lineman from University High, and when we were going into this early signing period on Wednesday, the belief was that both of these guys, Richard and Lamar, were going to hold off, wait, see who exactly will be their position coach, who's going to be the defensive coordinator. But after a lengthy conversation that Richard Anderson had with Lane Kiffin, he went ahead and officially signed yesterday. And who knows, maybe Lamar Brown does it today. Now, kind of what's, I don't want to say complicating this, but, you got semifinals of the high school football playoffs tonight. So these guys are also occupied with that. University High is traveling over to St. Charles Catholic and playing the Comets tonight in the semifinal game, and the Carr is taking on Catholic High. So you throw that into this, it's a crazy time, a new coach, these players trying to wrap their head around all this. And so, but for right now, LSU has got a good group. They would like to add to it. There's no running back. There's no quarterback in this class. But you are going to have the transfer portal come January 2nd. And then there are still going to be a few players that are high school players, quality high school players that are still going to be out there unsigned that you could come back and sign in February. But let's see. Maybe LSU signs a couple players today here to wrap up this early signing period.
When it comes to quarterback, who really is LSU competing for, and when it comes to getting players, competing against?
Well, here at this point, the problem is this kind of goes all back to the Bryce Underwood situation from a year ago, in that you know, you got to get these quarterbacks kind of locked in a couple years prior to their senior season. For instance, in the class of 2027, LSU has a commitment from they got a commitment from Pop Houston from Evangel High School up in Shreveport. Now, he's not graduating until next year, but they got the commitment now, and maybe they might get another commitment. A lot of these really good blue chip quarterbacks are committing to their schools sometime in their junior year. So for so long, LSU was recruiting Bryce Underwood. The thought was he was going to be LSU's quarterback for 3 years, 2 years, whatever it was. So and that was going to be in the class of 2024. So it was hard to get some of the blue chip quarterbacks to really look at LSU in class of 2025 because they thought they would have to play behind Bryce Underwood. Well, it turns out Underwood goes to Michigan. A lot of the big time quarterbacks have committed elsewhere. So it was hard for LSU's been in this constant catch up mode as far as trying to get a quarterback in this class. There was one player, Landon Duckworth, out of Alabama, that they were really pushing hard for this year. He ends up signing with South Carolina yesterday. So I would imagine Lane Kiffin is going to go. He's going to go big time in the transfer portal. He's going to at least get a couple quarterbacks because LSU's depth at the quarterback position is very, very slim right now. You know, Garrett Nussmeier's graduated. Michael Van Buren, I presume he'll be back. Colin Hurley has actually left the team for personal reasons. And now you're looking at a walk-on quarterback in Amelia Pecorella and then Juwan Johnson, if you wanted to make that change once again to switch him back to quarterback where he was in high school. So LSU's really thin there, and I don't think Lane Kiffin's probably comfortable with it at all. So it's hard at this point. So that's why, the transfer portal is going to be very important for them at that quarterback position, and I think at the running back position too.
That's why I wonder about the quarterback that went to South Carolina, because it would seem as though, I guess I'm wondering, what does South Carolina have that LSU doesn't? And if Lane Kiffin is a quarterback whisperer, why would he choose not to come here?
Well, again, a lot of this has to come down to there is still a bit of relationship that's part of this, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I know a lot of it is driven by money. And so it's just kind of hard to come on the scene. Now, granted, I'm sure that, Lane was very familiar with him and all that. You know, the other thing is a lot of these NIL deals, especially here in the state of Louisiana, the high school prospects can start collecting on their NIL money while they're in high school, that the LSU collective could go ahead and start paying their NIL deal. So a lot of these guys that were committed by or have been committed to LSU and have signed, they've already been starting to receive their NIL packages. And it's actually I don't want to call it a loophole, but these NIL deals do not have to be approved. Remember when back in July, a change to the NIL system is that all these NIL deals have to be approved by a clearinghouse.
Right.
And but when they're in high school, they don't necessarily have to be approved. So there's really no guardrails on these things. So a lot of these kids are already getting money from their schools, and so that's why you don't see as much of the flipping as you did previously.
Getting money from the universities, not the high schools.
Well, from the collectives associated with
the
universities.
Right.
Yes.
Yet, as far as high schools. The other day I was watching on TV, like old movies, I'm flipping around, and they got Canute Rockne, All-American from 1940, comes on. They're talking about paying athletes and everything, and I'm thinking, yeah, right. 621 traffic now, WWL. 627, come on. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. Every Friday is a Rouse's Football Friday here at WWL. Ross is the official supermarket of LSU. Jeff, somebody wants to know about your thoughts. They texted in about the LSU's use of Harold Perkins Jr. this year.
Well, you know, I think Harold had a good year. I don't know if it was a great, outstanding season. You know, I still think his best attribute is a guy that gets after the quarterback. Sometimes he seems to me gets a little bit lost in pass coverage. I think there were some games, especially the Ole Miss game, the Vanderbilt game. Those were games where he didn't make as much of an impact as you needed him to make an impact. I thought towards the later part of the season here, he was starting to become a more of a playmaker. And, you know, part of that, though, Tommy, and it might not necessarily come down to coaching or so forth, but this was a kid who tore his ACL at the end of September of 2024. And, you know, sometimes that takes really a full year for that, for you to start really feeling comfortable out there and starting to be the guy that you previously were prior to the injury. And that might have been the case a little bit with Harold Perkins. I think people forget it. You know, I thought it was significant in the fact that he was ready to go come preseason camp in August, despite tearing his ACL at the end of September of 2024. So he did all he could to rehab himself. It'll be interesting to see what kind of an NFL player he'll be. You know, he's not going to go down as one of the greatest LSU defensive players. I think there will always be this feeling of what could have been or what should have been or anything like that. But I think he really did finish the season strong. He was much more of a impactful player here in the month of November, that's for sure, than he was, say, late September, early October.
Hopefully he'll find his spot in the NFL and self-actualize there. So when it comes to the bowl game, and, you know, I kind of find it similar to the Saints in that there's really nothing to be gained other than evaluating talent and getting yourself ready for next year. Does Lane Kiffin pretty well know who's on the team now and what he has, or does he have to see anything from the bowl game?
Well, I guess we need to find out if, you know, we're going to have any opt-outs. Will Garrett Nussmeier suit it up one more time? I guess that's a possibility. I don't think it's likely. You know, I think it is an opportunity to evaluate from Lane's perspective. Frank Wilson will coach the team, though. But, you know, I think the biggest thing is just trying to figure out who the staff is, especially considering the reports that Blake Baker will take the head coaching job at Tulane. So you're going to have a defensive coordinator. And right now it's a weird time at the football ops building because you got the old staff working with the new staff, and you got to sort all that stuff out, too, before you get to the bowl game.
And a pending bowl game. That's the other thing that's weird. All right, thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it, as always, man. Jeff Palermo, WWL.com, columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. When we come back, we're going to talk to Ted Rossman, Bankrate Senior Industry Analyst. According to a new survey, fewer Americans plan on tipping as much as holiday season. And, of course, our survey question, drinks are free, bars open, bars fully stocked. What can I get you? Money's no limit. Prices, no objects. So let me know what you're ordering. Right now, it's time for WWL First News. 6:46, 14 till 7. Win for a rainy stretch today, tomorrow, and into Sunday. Maybe lingering into Monday. Then it dries out, cools off a little bit. It's going to warm up first. It's a complicated story. But either way, just get ready for some cold, cool weather. Rainy weather. Ted Rossman joins us now, Bankrate Senior Industry Analyst, to talk about fewer Americans planning on tipping as much this holiday season. How you doing, Ted?
Good morning. Doing well. Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time. Tell me what the Bankrate survey found.
We found that fewer people are planning to tip this holiday season in all of the categories that we asked about. So that included housekeepers and child care providers, landscapers, teachers, mail carriers, and trash collectors. Across the board, people are tipping less often. What's interesting is that when they tip, the amounts are actually flat or even up in some cases. So I take this as another sign of the so-called K-shaped economy, basically the idea that the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. Many people are cutting back on what they're tipping this year because money is tight, but yet there are also other people that are giving as much or more. Higher earners are propping up the overall stats, in other words, and we see that elsewhere in the economy, too.
Do we know if this is a regional thing or not? Because I tip the housekeeper every time they come. Child care provider, I don't think it was paid, but it wasn't a tip situation. Teacher, I always looked at tipping a teacher as a bribe. Landscaper, I never tipped. Mail carrier, I've never tipped a post person in my life, a mail carrier, nor the garbage man. Am I a terrible person, Ted?
No, not at all. You know, only about 1 in 5 are tipping the mail carriers and the trash and recycling collectors. It's an interesting question about geography. We actually didn't notice any significant regional differences. About half of people are giving the teacher a holiday tip. Now, maybe the tip is not the right word. Maybe it's more of a holiday gift. Mm-hmm. My wife actually used to be a teacher, and you know, they would probably frame it more as a gift than a tip. But maybe a class gift is appropriate. Sometimes it's awkward to be giving something, especially money, individually, but maybe everybody in the class gives 10 or 20 bucks, and then the teacher gets a gift card. Mm-hmm. That happens about half the time. About 1 in 3 are tipping the landscaper. About half tip the housekeeper and child care provider. That's interesting you mentioned tipping the housekeeper every time, because I feel like that's super generous. What's more common is kind of the once-a-year tip. So what we did in this survey was we separated out the ongoing stuff. Like, you know, ideally, we should be tipping every time we go to a restaurant or we get our haircut or we get food delivery or we take a taxi or rideshare. The holiday tip tends to be more of the one-off, like the annual holiday tip for some of these people. The amounts are generally between 20 and 50 bucks. Those are the medians depending on the service, but there can be a pretty wide range there.
When it comes to tipping a teacher, I think of Rodney Dangerfield. Here's 100. Keep it fair. Keep it fair, will you, please? Just keep it fair for everybody. You mentioned the K-shape economy. For people that don't know what that is, explain what that is, please, because we're hearing a lot about it, but I don't know that a lot of people know what it is.
Yeah, it basically refers to income inequality. In a nutshell, it's kind of the idea that the rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer, sadly. Moody's says the top 10% of earners are accounting for 50% of all spending, which is an all-time high. We see that in travel. We see that in holiday gifts and other things. So the K is kind of like some people are moving up and to the right. They're getting better over time, kind of like that upper part of the K, and then other people are getting worse over time, sadly. This is an idea that started to gain traction really during the pandemic, but it's really intensified the past few years. And I could also explain it by saying that some people are doing quite well. They're getting raises at work, their home value's up, their stocks are up, and yet consumer sentiment overall is really poor. And there are a lot of people who are feeling really negative about things like inflation and tariffs and jobs and the state of the economy. So it's basically kind of that widening gap and some of the effects it has on our spending and borrowing and other financial habits.
All right, let me take a break. I want to talk about the K-shaped economy when we come back in a historical context and sustainability, et cetera. We're talking to Ted Rossman, Bankrate Senior Industry Analyst. And I would ask you at 504-260-1870, do you ever tip the mailman or a mail lady, mail person, mail carrier, the garbage person, the landscaper, the teacher, the child care provider, or the housekeeper? Let me know at 504-260-1870. Is that normally what you do? Do you tip them? 651, 9 till 7, traffic now, WWL. 656 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Ted Rossman, Bankrate Senior Industry Analyst. According to a new survey, fewer Americans plan on tipping as much this holiday season, and they broke it down into categories. Housekeepers, 56%, child care provider, 47%, teachers, 47%, landscaper, gardener, snow remover, 37%, mail carrier, 27%, trash recycling collector, 21%. Somebody texted and said, I should tip my mail carrier because they're there every day delivering my mail. Well, I got to tell you, they're actually not. They're there every other day, and it's amazing how I get a mailbox full of mail every other day and none on the I get a mailbox full of mail on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, but not on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. I guess it just plays out that way. Let's talk about a K-shaped economy. Where did this come from? Because I don't recall in college hearing about a K-shaped economy.
It's definitely something that's evolved over time. It really started to take hold, I would say, during the pandemic is when it really started to come more into the economic discourse. Some of it was just a lot of these factors have been accentuated the past few years. When you think about consumer confidence has been at or near record lows, inflation has really squeezed people, especially with lower and middle incomes. And yet the oddity is that at the same time, stocks have been hitting record highs, home prices have hit record highs. It has really accentuated the haves and have-nots kind of idea. And, you know, historically, consumer confidence was viewed as a predictor of future activity. But right now, it's really diverged. It's like some people are doing well. There's about two-thirds who have stocks and home ownership, and they're just feeling a lot better than other people. It definitely feels like that gap is widening.
So how sustainable is this? Because it seems like we're talking about disparity of wealth getting even more desperate.
It doesn't feel particularly sustainable. Like if you play this out and the gap continues to widen, it is like spending is getting more and more concentrated among the few. And you don't think that's as good of a thing for overall economic health. So it's not going to reverse overnight, but if the gap continues to grow, if upper income people pull back, that's a problem for the economy.
Thank you, Ted. Appreciate your time as always. Ted Rossman, Bankrate Senior Industry Analyst. We'll take a break, come back. We're going to talk about a problem they're having at the North Shore Humane Society and some of the things you can do to help. We'll also talk about high school football. WWL has the most generous listeners. Thanks to everyone who joined us Wednesday for day one of the Manning Family Children's Light Up the Season Radiothon. We are extremely grateful for your donations. Please know you can listen to some of the touching moments from our 14-hour broadcast online at WWL.com, WWL Social. You can still donate today by calling 888-780-8811 or texting NOLA Kids the 34984. Be a miracle maker. Got a crash on a causeway, got the southbound causeway closed for now. Probably until about 8 o'clock, but we'll let you know if anything changes. Ian Ozan joins us now. Seems Ian Ozan like mm-hmm. just yesterday. It was hot and humid in August, and we were talking about prep football, and here we are all of a sudden, December 5th, knocking on the door.
Yeah, we're the penultimate week of the season, week 14 of 15. The state championships are next week, and it seems as if the playoffs are dominated by teams from the New Orleans metro area, the Baton Rouge metro, and from the Monroe area. So there's a chance that we could have we will more than likely have an all-Monroe final in one of the games next week, two of the games, an opportunity, if all goes well tonight, to have an all-New Orleans Metro matchup.
Tell me what you're watching.
So we're going to be watching those two New Orleans Metro possibilities. Edna Carr hosting Catholic of Baton Rouge tonight. These are two teams who met in the playoffs last year. Edna Carr got the victory and then went on to win a state championship. In the bottom half of the bracket, St. Aug takes on John Curtis in a rematch of a game from only about 4 or 5 weeks ago. Where St. Aug won and won big, took advantage of John Curtis's miscues and turnovers. St. Aug, though, was hosting this game at Tad Gormley Stadium. John Curtis hosted the regular season matchup. So the winner of that game gives us a New Orleans team in the final. If Edna Carr handles business, if they're able to beat Catholic tonight, we're going to have an all-Catholic League final next Saturday afternoon at 3:30 right here on WWL.
Wow, that'd be something. Tell me about the other games you're watching.
Other games are we're going to be keeping track of tonight. Archbishop Shaw, the 7 seed, they didn't have a great regular season this year. Archbishop Shaw started off losing 2 of their first 3 games, went on a 5-game win streak, and then lost their final 2 to end the season at 6-4. But something about the Eagles, when they get into the playoffs, they get into another drive.
Yep.
And they have been unstoppable all throughout the playoffs. This week, they go to home to play Vanderbilt Catholic. St. Charles, in the top half of that bracket, the number 1 seed, had a wonderful regular season, and they've rolled through the playoffs. They get U-High tonight, a U-High team that's looking for a little bit of revenge from last year, not necessarily against St. Charles, but against the LHSAA. They qualified for the playoffs last year. The LHSAA learned they used an ineligible player, kicked them out of the playoffs. U-High sued, lost the lawsuit. But they still think they were jobbed last year, and now they're trying to get to the state finals and say, hey, we did nothing wrong, and we're just as good as you thought we were last year.
So my Shaw Eagles, if they win tonight, they go to the Dome next week?
If they win tonight, they return to the Dome for a second straight year. They'll defend their state championship against the winner of St. Charles U-High. And if Shaw and St. Charles wins, then next Friday night we have an all-New Orleans Metro matchup, St. Charles Parish against Jefferson Parish.
So when it comes to surprises this season, what has been your biggest surprise and what has been some of the disappointments to you?
I think the biggest surprise, not from the New Orleans area, but one of those teams from the Monroe area we talked about, Union Parish. This is a team that's familiar with making deep playoff runs, but at the start of the year, we didn't think that would happen. They lost their first three games. Going into the final 3 weeks, they were 3-4, and they wound up getting waxed in their season finale, 42-7. They come in as a double-digit seed, and they knocked out the number three seed in their division, in Division Two non-select, or pardon me, Division Three non-select. They knocked out the number one seed, or number three seed, Erath, and they have not been touched. Nobody's come close to beating them yet in the playoffs. Here they are in the semifinals. Union Parish, Coach Spadafore has done a great job of getting this team to play their best at the right time. They're peaking at the right time. I think maybe the biggest disappointment this season is we didn't see as many Catholic teams progress out of the first two rounds of the playoffs and run. I thought just based on how strong the division was, or how strong the district was, you would have more than the four teams that we saw in the quarterfinals. I thought you might have been able to get a fifth or a sixth team in there. The seedings didn't work out. In fact, you had a couple Catholic League matchups early in the playoffs, so that kind of took that opportunity away, but still a wonderful year for the Catholic League. Maybe the biggest surprise of all actually came down yesterday with the LHSA announcing the new districts. Warren Easton got its wish. It got moved to the Jefferson Parish District out of the Catholic League. Mm-hmm. Chalmette didn't get its wish. Mm-hmm. It's playing in the Catholic League next year with the Etna Cars, the St. Augs, the John Curtises. So Chalmette just went from a good district to arguably the toughest district in the state of Louisiana.
And that was based on the attendance at the school, the registration?
Based on attendance. They were 5A already, but based on how the LHSA draws the maps to keep the teams grouped, because a few teams moved up in 5A in the New Orleans Metro, Chalmette got moved out of the North Shore District and put in the Catholic League. Chalmette appealed. They said, we don't want to go there. We want to stay where we are. Edna Carr and Warren Easton both appealed because they were moved from the Catholic League to make room for Chalmette and put in the Jefferson League. Mm-hmm. Edna Carr said, we don't want to play there because they're going to kill our strength of schedule. So the LHSAA went back and said, all right, Edna Carr, we'll give you what you want. We'll keep you in the Catholic League. Warren Easton will give you what you want. We'll put you in the Jefferson League. Chalmette, no dice. We're sorry. You're stuck.
Confused? Perhaps, but listen tonight.
But you won't be after the next episode of Soap.
No, and you won't be after the next episode of the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup, which happens tonight.
Correct. 7 o'clock, we'll be live in studio. The weather will prevent us from going to any of the game sites, but we have correspondents at the Shaw game, correspondents at the St. Aug game, the St. Aug John Curtis game, at Etna Carr. The St. Charles game will have somebody there as well. Plus, we have a couple other people scattered around the state tonight. So we'll have all the updates. We'll have the scores as they come in. And next week, we will be live in the Superdome Friday night as well as all day Saturday.
Shaw plays in Houma?
Correct. They're playing at Vanderbilt Catholic.
All right. Thank you, Ian Ozen. We'll be listening tonight, 7:21. Traffic now, WWL. All right, 7:26 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL. True to form, Carlton Dufour Show has kept us updated. One lane is open southbound on the causeway now. They're starting convoys. They expect to have the rest of the wreck cleared by the time the convoy gets there. So starting convoys southbound, again, remember, during a convoy, you can't change lanes or any of that. So just stay in line and be safe and pay attention to what the heck you're doing. But the southbound one lane is open now on the causeway coming into the city. They had a problem at the North Shore Humane Society. They're looking for foster homes for dogs. And Scott Bernier joins us now, CEO of the North Shore Humane Society. How you doing, Scott? What happened?
Good morning. How are you?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We had a bit of a fire in one of our kennels. We have four kennels, and it was Kennel A. A few days ago, it was an electrical fire. And, of course, we're in a situation now where we're rehabbing that kennel and we can't put the animals in there. Mm-hmm. So we've been trying to place as many animals as we can into foster care while we get everything fixed.
What does that mean, foster care? If you foster one of these canines, what does that mean? What does it look like?
Basically, you would just take them into your home. We'd provide any food or medicine, anything that they need, a kennel for you. And it allows us to keep that kennel open. I should have said right off the bat that all our employees and all the animals are fine. We're able to put it out quickly,
right,
and everybody's okay. But we're in a repair situation right now.
How long would they be fostering a dog for?
I'm thinking it'd probably only be early next week. Now, I will say for the dogs now, we are down to a point that most of the dogs that we have are very selective.
Mm-hmm.
They may not like other dogs. They may not like kids or men or something. So we're down to the specialty situations right now. So anybody that's thinking of helping, you know, consider that we don't want to put a dog in a home that's got 12 dogs in it already.
Right. So if somebody lives alone and they want to foster a dog, is there anything about the selectivity of the dogs that you have left that would prevent that from happening?
That's probably more of an ideal situation. And we each dog has its own personality, just like a human. And we know what those are. We're not going to pair something up that's not going to fit.
So what kind of dogs are available? How many are you talking about that are still looking for foster homes?
I believe we've got about 8 more we're trying to get into homes as of this morning.
Okay, and do you know big, small, what kind of dogs?
Most of these dogs are medium to large-sized dogs. The small dogs go fast. Everybody's looking for small dogs, you know.
All right, how do they go about adopting one or at least going over there or becoming eligible, et cetera, et cetera?
Sure. If you think you fall in that situation, you could just drive by, come to the facility. If not, give a call, talk to our adoptions department, have a discussion with them, or go onto our website and fill out a form showing your interest in the adoption area, and someone will call you back.
Where is the facility?
Facility's at 2034 Harrison Avenue in Covington. For the locals that have been here a long time, they called it Dog Pound Road at one time.
And in as far as kennels go, if somebody wanted to come from the South Shore to adopt or to foster one of these dogs, that would be acceptable, and you have a kennel to help them get the dog home?
Yes, it would be. Yes, it would be. I'm sorry, my alarm stuff. Yes, it would be.
You what went on? What happened?
Alarm just went off.
No worries.
My apologies.
Take care of everything. I hope we can do you some good. Thank you, sir. Is there a phone number or website?
NorthShoreHumane.org.
Thank you, sir. We'll hope we can get you animals fostered for you. NorthShoreHumane.org. Thank you. 7:30 time for WWL First News. When we come back, we're going to talk to Lou Fregoso, Manning Family Children's President, CEO, about the parade, about the radiothon that continues. And we'll talk to Fred Lopez about vaccines. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. 7:40, 20 till 8, joined by Lou Fregoso. He's plenty busy. Manning Family Children's Hospital President and CEO. How you doing, Lou?
Tommy, good morning. Thanks for having me on, and happy holidays to everybody.
Same to you, sir. First of all, before we talk about the parade, the Radiothon continues today. Talk about people making a donation, please.
Well, Tommy, I just can't thank your listeners enough and the support of our community, because we can't do the amazing work that we do here without the support of the community, and this Radiothon is a great way to celebrate that. I'm just so excited. Every dollar that we raise through your Radiothon goes to the mission. And when you think about what we're doing here, curing cancer, curing sickle cell, creating the largest behavioral health program in the country right here for our kiddos and across 200 schools with that behavioral health program, what we do changes lives, it saves lives, and we just couldn't do it without your listeners. So thank you so much, Tommy.
You know, I had two stories when I was there on Wednesday, and you just kind of glossed over, and I know you're busy, but curing cancer and curing sickle cell, that's two pretty big statements.
Oh, Tommy, I mean, if you think, let's just start with sickle cell. You know, we take care of the most kids in the country that have sickle cell disease. And if anybody knows anything about sickle cell, you know it's an incredibly painful and debilitating disease. It literally robs kids of years of life, 30 years of life on average, causes organ failure, multiple admissions into the hospital and the ER, and the pain episodes are described as shards of glass going through your vein, just to give you perspective. And your children's hospital right here, Manning Family Children's, we are only one of a handful of children's hospitals in the country now to have a cure for sickle cell disease. And that just happened last year. Our very first patient is going through it right now. We have now a whole list of patients that are going to be going through it. But we are literally giving lives back, futures back, dreams back, and we're just so excited about what's happening. Again, we just couldn't do it without the support of your community.
Tell me about being a miracle maker while I got you.
Oh, God, so many miracles. I mean, if you think, we've just been so excited about our families that have come out to share the stories. I mean, if you think yesterday or on Wednesday, we lit up the season here on the campus, and Margo, one of our little NICU graduates, came and lit up the season. And just to give you a sense of Margo's story, 2 years ago, she was born at 25 weeks gestation in Lake Charles, and she was born at 1 pound, and her intestines were dying, and she needed the care that can only be provided right here at Manning Family Children's. So we sent Abby, our helicopter, to Lake Charles. We picked up Margo, brought her here, and I have a picture of Margo when she got here. She's literally the size of a Christmas cookie. We have a Christmas cookie next to Margo, and that is how small she is. And imagine our surgeons having to do surgery on a baby that is just 1 pound to repair her intestines. But that's exactly what happened, Tommy. And I'm so proud to say that 9 months after she got here, she left a chunky 14-pound little baby. And now she is 2 years old. She is thriving. Her whole family came with her on Wednesday to light up the season. And that's just another amazing example of only the work that happens here. We have the most amazing physicians, care teams. And again, all of it is just supported through our community. So we're just so incredibly grateful for the love and support of our community.
And you can be a miracle maker if you call 888-780-8811 and donate $15 a month or $180 one-time donation. That's less than 50 cents a day. You can text NOLA Kids to 34984. Tell me about the parade. What's going to happen on Saturday and Sunday?
Well, Tommy, they can't rain on our parade, so we moved it to Sunday. It is going to roll at 12:30, 30 floats, high-flying balloons, and, of course, the man himself, Santa Claus, is going to be there. It's going to roll from the French Market through downtown in front of Jackson Square. And so we're excited to have the community out. It is a great way to kick off the holiday season. It is Mardi Gras and Christmas combined. Nobody does parades better than New Orleans, and we're excited to have everybody out there. So please join us Sunday, 12:30, rolling from the French Market at 12:30.
Nothing changes other than the date and the time. Thank you, Lou. Bless you. God bless y'all and everything.
Thanks,
you do.
Tommy.
You bet. 7:44, 16 till 8. We'll talk to Dr. Fred Lopez about vaccines and flu season when we come back on WWL.
Juicy and you see I'm gonna have my bite. So get ready for me, love.
Quickly to Dr. Fred Lopez, Professor of Medicine, Section of Infectious Diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. Morning, Dr. Fred. How are you?
Good, Tommy. How about yourself?
I'm okay, sir. It's National Influenza Vaccination Week. I got my flu shot. I got my COVID shot. I'm in my full possession of my faculties. I feel great. I'm not running around like a robot. The government's not implanted anything in me. Tell me about Influenza Week and the flu shot that's available, please.
Well, it's good timing because flu is definitely picking up. In fact, in Louisiana, we have the highest levels of flu-like illness in the United States. Only Colorado is close to us in terms of flu-like activity. So if you haven't gotten your vaccine, go get it now because it takes about 2 weeks to get immune to the flu. And we are about to see a takeoff in the flu activity.
Because of lack of vaccination or just the time of year?
It's the time of year. This is the time of year we tend to see illness increasing. And December, January is when it typically peaks, and it will extend all the way through May. But remember, it takes 2 weeks for the antibodies to develop against the flu. And so getting it as soon as possible, if you haven't already gotten your flu vaccine, is really important. And it's important to mention, though, that the lower the vaccination rates, the more illness there's going to be and the more transmission of flu-like illnesses as well.
If I do get the flu, what am I going to feel like?
You're going to feel badly, but you're not going to feel as bad as if you didn't take the flu shot earlier this year. So the fact that you're vaccinated means that even if you get the flu, which you can, because we know that that vaccine is about 40 to 60% effective, if you get the flu, it should be less severe, should prevent you from being hospitalized and having more severe complications.
Who should get it and how often should we get a flu vaccine?
Yeah, great question. Everyone 6 months of age or older should get the flu shot, and they should get an updated flu shot every year. So if you haven't gotten one this year, you need to get it.
Are people at more risk of getting the flu than others?
No, everybody's at risk if they're not immune to the flu. The issue is that some people are at more risk for severe complications of the flu. And who are those individuals? It's the very young. It's older patients. It's also people with chronic medical conditions like diabetes, heart failure, lung disease, liver disease, kidney disease, people who have cancer who are receiving chemotherapy. All of these individuals are much more at risk for severe complications. And I would also add patients who are pregnant as well, and that that puts them at higher risk for complications.
Why is it age-related? I always wondered about that, 65 or older.
It's the immune system. The immune system doesn't work as well. It's not as effective at fighting infection. And as a result, you're more at risk for severe complications. Plus, you don't develop the same robust immune response the older you get to the vaccines. So that's why we typically recommend a stronger flu vaccine for individuals who are 65 years of age or older.
And a text comes in and says, can the vaccine give me the flu?
No, it cannot. The flu shot consists of a dead, inactivated virus that stimulates an immune response. So it is not possible to get the flu from the flu shot. If you get flu-like symptoms, sometimes just the vaccine itself can give you a sore arm. It might even give you a headache and a low-grade fever, but it only lasts for a short period of time and then goes away. If, however, you actually do get the flu after you get the shot, it's probably because you were incubating the illness before you got the shot and the body hadn't had enough time to create the immune response against the flu.
So for people that might be hesitant to get it for whatever reason, your thoughts would be?
Get it. Remember that you're not just protecting yourself, you're also protecting people around you who may be at more risk for severe complications. So it's as much a private health issue as it is a public health issue. And look, Tommy, I know I've said this before over many years, on average, about 35,000 deaths from the flu each year. And this is a vaccine preventable illness.
Is it possible, even though I've been vaccinated, I could have the flu and work through it, not even know it?
Probably not. You'd probably be symptomatic. If you haven't been vaccinated and get the flu, you still should get the vaccine after because it protects you against other strains that might emerge later in the flu season. So good point to bring up about whether you've been vaccinated or had a natural infection with the flu.
There's no way this would have anything to do with me getting colds, right?
No, the colds are caused by other contagious viruses, different from the flu, for which we have really no vaccines.
Sure seems like since I've been getting a shot, I haven't had a cold. Thank you, Dr. Fred. I appreciate your time. That's what is it? Anecdotal, not causal. How do you say it the scientific way?
I like the anecdotal part of your comments,
there
Tommy.
There you go. Thank you, sir. Fred Lopez, professor of medicine, section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans, 755, 5 till 8. Traffic now, WWL. It is 8:15 every Friday with Mike Dettillier. Is Rouse's Markets Football Friday. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. How you doing, Mike Dettillier?
I'm fine, Tommy. Thank you, brother.
Let's talk about the Saints and the Buccaneers and the Saints defense against the Buccaneers offense.
Well, as usual, when the teams play against the Saints, they seemingly get healed overnight. Mm-hmm. And the Bucs offense is getting healthy now across the board. So looks as though Chris Godwin, who's been out for a while, is going to play in this game. Mike Evans is in that window that he can be activated.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh. And Bucky Irvin, who has been out for some time now, he was a full participant yesterday in practice. They had one guy that didn't practice yesterday, and that was Tristan Wirfs, their star left tackle. He's got an oblique injury, but I figure he's going to get healed today. It may have taken him an extra day to get healed. So I think you're going to catch the full load, so to speak, with the Bucs, who really kind of thrived because of Baker Mayfield. He's really been the story over the last couple years, and especially this year, with so many injuries. He's been able to pull it out for him. Then again, some games you can't do it all by yourself, but man, he's something to watch. And so you kind of know where it starts here, in that they would really like to run the ball. They really would. That's kind of part of the DNA with Todd Bowles. He wants to run the football with Bucky Irving, with Rashad White. And then, you know, they set up that play-action stuff with Baker Mayfield. So, and Baker's, you know, he's been injured too. He's got that left shoulder injury. But you couldn't tell. And they've won a lot of close games. They've been in a lot of tight games this year. But the difference maker has been Mayfield.
Tell me what kind of runner Bucky Irving is.
He's all of about 5 foot seven and a half. On a 210-pound frame. I mean, he's like carved out of stone. Shortcut, one move up the field, eyes up, always falling forward. More, I would say, quick than fast as a runner.
You read my mind, Mike, to tell you. I was getting ready to ask you that. Is he more quick or more fast?
No, he's more quick than fast. Yeah. And he's very elusive out into the open field. Also, really good back catching the ball, coming out of the backfield. Went to Oregon, so he was in a system that they sort of didn't overuse him a lot in college. He was part of a kind of dual backfield. But, man, he's a tough guy. And you get really one good shot at him, because when you built that way, it's not like you got a lot of body you kind of hitting on. And so he hits that hole, you got one shot, and then he's up the field 5 or 6 yards. So he is a really good back. He took some nasty shots early in the season, but he is a really, really good football player. And Rashad White's totally opposite. Mm-hmm. He's like a 6'1" back, 215. He's straight up like a big cowboy in the old movies. You know, he ride high in the saddle. So he's a different style back than what Bucky Irving is, completely.
Well, I'm no Bucky Irving pilgrim. Let me tell you, Bucky Irving's kind of like this pinball type guy.
Yep, pretty much.
Boom, and boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, and the thing with him is that's impressive, his ability to see the hole. He sees it really quick, and then he can process it. Bang, I know where I'm going. A lot of guys, they almost now, and sometimes I think they almost teach it. come to almost a complete stop and then take off with a move. Not with him. He's full pedal to the metal. But I can say he's very difficult sometimes to find when you that short.
Right.
Okay, and you run in there, and there's all these 6 foot five guys in front of you. Your defensive lineman is to find the ball with him. It's a little bit of an illusion of where he's actually at. But, man, he's a one-cut, get-up-the-field runner and a real good one. And, again, we'll see what happens to their receiving core because the rookie, Amika Abuka from Ohio State's really been the star receiver because the two veterans, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, have both been down with injuries.
But Evans, you think, might play?
He might. He is practicing. And one thing with Mike Evans, man, he's super competitive. He really, really is a competitive guy. And this could be maybe his last year.
Okay.
He has sort of hinted that, hey, I'm taking it year to year. And when guys say that, Tommy, you start to wonder a little bit about it because injuries have started to mount a little bit. Mike Evans, who's this gigantic receiver, guy that can get downfield, can catch the short pass, but really what he's known for is the deep ball.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back, talk about the Panthers, the Buccaneers defense, the Saints offense. Mike Dettelier, our guest. Every Friday is a Rouse's Football Friday here at WWL, a Rouse's Markets Football Friday. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. 821 traffic now, WWL. 826 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Sunday, Saints battling the Bucks in Tampa. Your day starts at 8, Steve Geller, Charlie Long, Caesars Sportsbook, First Take, then at 10, Bobby Hebert, Steve Geller, Bud Light, countdown to kickoff. Then it is a New Orleans tradition, as Deuce always says, at high noon, turn down the TV, turn up WWL, Mike Haas and Deuce McAllister doing the play-by-play in the color. Then you got Jeff Nowak on the sideline after the game. Sound off with the cannon on the point after. If you love football, we got it for you. 10 hours of black and gold wall-to-wall coverage on WWL. Right now we're breaking it down with Mike Dettelier. A Rouse's Market Friday. Every Friday is with Mike Dettelier. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. Mike, boy, number 50 never does go away on Tampa Bay, does he?
And you can't miss him, right?
No, can't miss him.
All 340 pounds of Vita Vey. Their problems have been they have not been able to get much of a pass rush. The last couple weeks, you can see when a team has trouble getting a pass rush, they start blitzing a lot. And that's what's happened with Todd Bowles. And that's not normally what he would want to do. He would not want to do that. He's sort of a selective blitzer. More on the third down, but this time he sort of flipped the script. He's blitzing much more on first and second down. It does help out on run support if you have extra people up front. But Vita Vey, he's a big man in the middle, and he normally stops everything you try rushing inside. But that doesn't – if you're the Saints, that shouldn't stop you. You got to be able to try to run the football on this team. But I think, Tommy, there are some spots, and other teams have done it because they're playing some young guys in the secondary that you have an opportunity. If you're going to blitz Tyler Shuck, then I'm going to take my shot and try to get it downfield just because they have not been able to get a pass rush just rushing four guys. Now, Hassan Reddick looks as though he's – on his way back to good health, and he probably will play in this game. But you got to take your chances with them. You got to have that opportunity to stretch the rubber band and go after them because they have not been a very good pass rush team just with four. They're sending extra people. You got your shot, but you got to protect Shuck. That's first and foremost.
And you got to get out to a start. You can't wait till the second half.
Yeah, well, that's been a problem from day one, and so you got to fix that some kind of way. But so far, they haven't been able to come up with that, and this is why I think this is a fairly close game here. The Bucs are the better team, But I think the Saints can keep this game fairly close.
High scoring, low scoring?
I think it's a low scoring game. If it's a high scoring game, the Saints have no shot. They got to keep this as a low scoring game. To be honest, you look at the Bucks, most of that games have been low scoring too.
Thank you, Mike Dettelier. Appreciate it as always.
Thank you,
Tommy.
We'll be
listening this weekend. All right, Mike Dettelier, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. We'll talk to J.P. Morrell when we come back. Time now, WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. 8:45, quarter till 9, breezing through this rainy Friday morning. J.P. Morrell joins us, New Orleans City Council member. How you doing, J.P.?
Good, Tommy. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I was talking about this Operation Catahoula Crunch earlier, and you know, I'm trying to figure out how I feel about this. First of all, I don't want dangerous criminals roaming around the neighborhood. Secondly, I guess if you're not in this country legally, you kind of cut the line in front of those who didn't. Although, to be fair, I also think a lot of people that are standing outside at Home Depot and Lowe's are doing a lot of good work for people that would otherwise have to pay a lot of money. And the question I first posed when they said they were going to arrest 5,000 people is, okay, who are these 5,000? How have you identified them? And who's going to do what they're doing now? Give me your thoughts on this whole Operation Catahoula Crunch thing, JP.
Well, first off, when you look at, if you just look on a real basic mathematical way at New Orleans and the greater New Orleans area as a whole, and you look at how many people are arrested or convicted of violent crime, and you look at what percentage of those people are here in the country illegally, Tommy, you don't get anywhere near 5,000 people. There's not 5,000 violent criminals lurking in the greater New Orleans area to meet that number. And when you look at the other cities that have experienced this surge before us, the vast majority of the people that are arrested are not violent criminals, and some of them aren't even in the country illegally because, as we found, I'm sure you saw the viral video of the young woman in Marrero who was chased to her house, who was an American citizen. So the problem is that if you're talking about what is stated as the purpose of Catahoula Crunch, which is targeting violent criminals in the greater New Orleans area, first off, you never should have started with a number. That's like giving police a quota.
Yeah, I didn't get that from the beginning, JP.
when you give people a quota, then they fill the quota. If you're talking about doing legitimate law enforcement work, working with law enforcement agencies to identify people who those agencies, in all likelihood, I mean, the intelligence gathering of the greater New Orleans area law enforcement agencies, Jefferson Parish, NOPD, Gretna Police, the like, they've identified a lot of people who they're building cases against who might fit their criteria. If you want to do something surgical, you could. But, Tommy, it's not about doing something surgical. It's about doing something performative. When you're saying that I'm going to go find 5,000 people and lock them up, and more importantly, what you've seen across all of the other cities, including ours, is they won't tell you who they've arrested. They'll tell you selectively the people they arrested, that we've arrested already probably, according to the Associated Press, dozens of people, but they only reported six that they said, these are six bad guys. Well, if all of them are bad guys, why aren't you telling us all the people you arrested?
Bad guys in terms of violent offenses or bad
right.
guys in terms of?
Violent offenses. I think yesterday they released six people, the names of six people they arrested who are charged with violent offenses. But if you've rounded up dozens of people or hundreds of people and they meet the criteria that you say you're pursuing, which is violent criminals, why are you withholding the names of everyone that you've, do you see what I'm saying? Everyone you've arrested. Because the problem is if you release the names of everyone you've arrested, you find out that many of them are here not illegally. We saw yesterday there's a gentleman who was arrested in Kenner who was a young man who was assaulted and abused, who was here legally on a visa for assaulted and abused children. And his attorney, who's a former immigration judge, was in the paper saying that, yeah, my guy was here legally. He showed all his documents and they arrested him anyway. And that's kind of that's the narrative. If this is all above board, then it's not difficult to be transparent. The fact that there is no transparency, Tommy, tells everyone this is not above board.
I don't like the optics, and y'all can text me on this and that and the other thing if you like. I don't care because I'm entitled to my opinions. I don't really like the optics of unmarked vans pulling up with people with masks, snatching people and getting them off the street. I just don't like that. Am I wrong?
I think that one of the points that Mayor-elect Moreno made was that we are allowing people to pull up in unmarked vans to snatch people with masks covered over their faces in a state that is a open concealed carry state. And we also have a stand your ground law. The people who are arresting individuals do not identify themselves. They literally pull up in mask and snatch people. And Tommy, there's only a matter of time before they pull up to snatch someone who's a U.S. citizen who pulls out a legally owned firearm and defends themselves. And the problem is this. The ultimate defense law enforcement has against a stand-your-ground claim is as long as they identify themselves, the person is required to comply. But if you're covered in a mask, you're essentially plain clothed in most of these instances, and you jump out, who's right? Because we have a very robust stand-your-ground law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A open concealed carry state. And if you're that guy Marrero whose wife is running up and there's some guy chasing her in a mask and you pull out a gun and shoot that person who hasn't identified themselves, what's going on there? How are you going to charge that case?
All right, let me take a break. We can pick it up. We come back and we'll talk about, let's start to say transfer portal. No, it's not the transfer portal. It's the other portal that you guys put together.
We don't have NILs going right now.
Thank goodness. Well, not yet, but you know what, JP, you never know. Never rule anything out. I was watching an old movie yesterday from 1940, Canute Rockne, All-American, just flipping around the cable trying to find something to escape, and I thought, yeah, that's right, that's how it is. 8:51, 9 till 9, traffic now, WWL. All right, 8:57, JP, quick word before we get to the budget about the Know Your Rights portal.
Well, essentially, what it comes down to is the city council and the mayor-elect are providing a webpage where individuals can, A, learn what their rights are as far as U.S. citizens or as people who are here with dubious immigration status. There are basic rights in the Constitution everyone's entitled to. The second part is it allows people to upload data, whether it be video or testimonials of things like that happened with that Marrero woman, where they can say, this happened to me, it was illegal, it was unwarranted, and I want there to be an official database where it's collected so that when all these terrible interactions are done, we can go back and look at it and see just how bad they were.
Tell me about the budget next year and how that's shaping up, and what happened with the mayor over the week.
Essentially, the hard work of the mayor-elect, the budget chair, soon to be CAO, they had found efficiencies in government as well as some ways to raise revenue that did not tax citizens to shore up the budget enough to potentially not do furloughs. The mayor, in a utter moment of petulant child taking her ball home temper tantrum, attempted to prevent them from enacting their plan to avoid the furloughs because she wanted us to tax people. And she literally said that. She said she had nine proposals to raise everyone's taxes and that we didn't do those. And it was, we didn't do what she wanted. So she thought by blocking revenue estimating from taking up Mr. Geruso's proposal that it would stop us. She did not read the charter, which says the Revenue Estimating Committee can make recommendations, but their recommendations are not required to put plans in action. The mayor-elect's going to have a revenue estimating, however, meet the day of the inauguration to sign off on those numbers just to be above board. But
what day is
we've
that?
Got a plan going forward.
What day is that?
That is January 12th.
How likely are people to see things change in the city after the inauguration?
Well, I mean, there is going to be
positive or negative, either way.
Oh, I mean, it'll be positive in that the people that have been selected already and others are really interested in actually doing their jobs. So that should be an improvement. But there is going to be a rough period when we come in, because even with the work that the mayor-elect Joe Geruso and the council have done, we still are short on cash and there will be some impact on services. We're just working to mitigate those as best as possible, because people who pay their taxes deserve to have their services done the way they've been done.
Thank you, JP. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Pleasure as always. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk eating and drinking. Ian McNulty. Some people are texting in champagne cocktails, which, as I understand it, is a drink with champagne poured on top of it. And I like a good old-fashioned. Ian McNulty knows that as well, as I killed some time until we got our guest ready, which we do have now. Thank you, gentlemen, both you, Ian Ozan, and you too, Cargo. All right, and Tim Zimmer as well. Pat Connick, PC, joins us now. Senator Pat Connick, talk about a meeting that's coming up. How you doing, PC?
Doing great, Tommy. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. Tell me about what's happening.
Yeah, there's right now, every year, the DOTD goes around the state. There's nine districts, DOTD districts throughout the state. And on Monday at 9:30 a.m. at the conference center at the Regional Transportation Management Center on Veterans Boulevard, there's going to be a meeting of top DOTD officials to discuss the construction projects that they plan for the upcoming year and ongoing projects for road projects throughout the state and throughout the region. This meeting will cover Jefferson, Lafourche, Orleans, Plaquemines, St. Bernard, St. Charles, and Terrebonne Parish. So if anyone has an issue or some comments about what they want in their district, this is the time to show up and voice your concerns and voice your wants.
Would this be a proper venue for bridge toll concerns or not?
Absolutely. I told my folks in Plaquemines Parish, to show up in force and tell them how this toll is affecting the economy of that parish. So, and I think it's a good opportunity to get behind why these tolls need to go away.
And I'm thinking of me specifically. It starts at 9:30, but they don't seal the doors, right? You don't have to be there right at 9:30, or do you?
No, you don't have to be. And you can watch online. I think it's going to be on YouTube, stream live. It's a good meeting. It's an informative meeting, and it's a way for DOTD to understand what's affecting the drivers and the communities that they're supposed to serve.
10 Veterans Boulevard. I'm going to take a risk here. I'm guessing that's where they usually set the cones out every year as a display.
I don't know about that. It's when you're coming off the elevator on the Pontchartrain Expressway heading towards Lakeview,
that's the place.
It splits, and you have right there. It's a nice new modern building.
It's on a little island. I know exactly where you're talking about. We'll be there at 9:30 if you can. What is the latest on the tolls and plenary and the Belchase Bridge? Pat, do we know?
Well, we're trying to find a way to get rid of them. I know there's going to be some mediations taking place next week in Baton Rouge with the company. There's a contingent talking to some folks in Washington, D.C. about getting some funding to pay the thing off. But looking at the business model of a toll in a community, it doesn't work. It does has the opposite effect. Though these bridges are supposed to bring economic, you know,
development
to the area. But in this case, it doesn't do that. It just does the opposite. So the whole purpose of building transportation networks and bridges and roads and improving things is to help the economy. This doesn't work here.
So would it be accurate to say that the governor is on board when he knows we got screwed when they made this deal?
I think everybody knows we got screwed. I think it's a no-brainer. But now how do we get out of it? That's the issue. And there's a lot of money involved, Tom. You're looking at millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars, and we got to figure out what do we do now.
Thank you, Pat. I appreciate it. The meeting happens Monday, 9:30. Y'all, if you can, get out there. It's at 10 Veterans Boulevard. Just Google it or IMAP it. You'll be able to find it. Pat, on a lighter note, I was saying if the bar was open and I could offer you any cocktail you want, take your order, what would it be? What would you drink? What's your drink of choice?
Man, club soda.
Really?
But sometimes, yeah. I feel better in the morning when I drink club soda. But other than that, it's vodka and cranberry.
There you go. All right, thank you, sir. 9:16. Appreciate all your work, Pat Connick. You know that. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Ian McNulty about eating and drinking here on WWL. 9:22, a minute late, but glad to have him. Ian McNulty covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. Ian McNulty, having you on is the broadcast equivalent for this week of, like, when you're helping somebody move and that last heavy crate has been moved and you're sitting down having a cold beer and just relaxing.
I'm here to help you lift from the bottom, Tommy. That's what we're doing here.
And lift with your back because you never want to hurt your legs. Remember that.
Oh, strike that in reverse at Hercules.
There you go. Let's talk about where you've been eating, where you've been drinking, what's on your mind.
Oh, man. There has been some delightful places that I've had a chance to bring up recently. And don't forget, since last time you and I talked, a lot has happened. It's true. But one of those things has been the emergence again of Revion, which I know is always of high interest to folks around here who follow the dining scene. But first, a place that I've had on my list for a while and I've been visiting off and on since they opened, last spring, and finally had a chance to really put together a piece on that was in the paper this week, is Aviva. It's a restaurant in the Marigny on what's on Franklin Street. It used to be called The Franklin, and this place was around for about 10 years, was known for its cocktails as sort of a modern bistro. Well, a lot of people were sad when it closed down, but let me tell you, what has replaced it is really, really a special place. And I say that Aviva is like that place you visited in Italy where, like, it spoke softly, but you couldn't stop talking about it afterwards. The menu is always changing with what's fresh. You can't quite pin it down. It's definitely not Italian-American. It's not Creole Italian. There's pasta, but it's not a red sauce joint. But you feel like, oh, this was that neighborhood restaurant that we happened into, and this is just the way it is over here, and this is what we're going to try to do when we go home, but instead we fall into going to TGI Fridays again and order too much takeout. But then you go to Aviva, and you're reminded of that trip to Italy. Anyway, that's what it did for me.
Right now, it is Eviva, the name of the restaurant, not Aviva, just to make sure.
No, that's right, right.
Yeah, okay.
Eviva, it means like hooray in Italian, it's an expression.
Eviva!
Aviva, that's right. And that will be my last ethnic impersonation today, I promise. It's this darkly seductive room that... check it out on my Instagram at Ian McNulty Nola. There's a bunch of photos there from the great Chris Granger who shot it with me for this story. It's covered with contemporary art, but it has this classic look to it. It's nestled into its neighborhood. And, if I'm not selling you on it, like the introductory thing to do is to go for their happy hour. I love a good restaurant happy hour. This one lasts until 7, so you actually have a chance to get there. You know, if you work until say 5 o'clock, I love a restaurant happy hour. I'm kind of frustrated when they end at like 4:45 or 5 o'clock or something. You know, it's like no chance for me to get there.
You're not happy.
Yeah, no, but there's a really nice martini on special during happy hour, and then the food menu for happy hour is not just like chicken wings they're thrown out there. It's things that the chefs are playing around with, that they maybe don't have enough quantity yet, or they're trying out. It's sort of like a chef's playground of delicious dishes that might end up on the main menu. The chefs, by the way, there's two of them. One, Rebecca Wilcombe. She was at Herb Saint for a long time, mm-hmm. and then for a short time at Gianna Restaurant, both Donald Link restaurants. And then she's joined there by a guy, Marcus Jacobs, who I've been following around town. A really good chef. He's known for Margie's Grill, which was on Broad Street for a while. And so the two of them are teamed up here. And it's just great. It's just like a wonderful restaurant. The menu is always changing. The wine list is nice and actually approachable, and that means something different these days. But when I say you can get you have a choice of a lot of different wines for under $60 a bottle, that sounds pretty expensive. But the way things are going, that's actually for a fine wine at a nice restaurant, that's a pretty refreshing sight. That's the place, Tommy, that it is. It's like date night sexy, but also sort of anytime. And anytime nice meal out. And I was just really glad to finally get finally be able to showcase it. And it had been a long time coming. It's really one of the best new restaurants that I've been to around New Orleans this year.
You talked about Chris Granger's photos, and they are beautiful. But I'm looking at a overhead shot here. Take me through what we're looking at. In the center of the table, you have a chopping block with anchovy toast. But it's not like you would think it would be. Take me through that.
Yeah, sure. I'm not even looking at the photo, Tommy, but I think I can do this from memory.
Okay.
Starting at the top of the clock, anchovy toast. Yeah, it's focaccia bread with bits of anchovy, which are, just pickly, sour fish, but tamed by some fresh herbs and a little chili. Then you're going over to a salad, which, following the hands of the clock, right. That is sort of a study in vegetal bitterness with radicchio, which is such a fun word to say. Mm-hmm. Radicchio. There, I'm doing it again with the ethnic thing.
Radicchio.
Yes, the radicchios. I went to high school with them over at LaSalle, I think.
Solid gold people, let me tell you something.
Mix that with some soft endive.
They still owe them money.
But then put in some country ham and wads of mozzarella. They look like they've just been torn off of a hunk of mozzarella and tossed in there. What else have we got on the table there? Oh, the grilled shrimp. This is beautiful Gulf shrimp treated at the absolute way they want to be treated, with some garlic, with some lemon, and not a moment too long on that fire. I mean, I would rather have my shrimp undercooked than overcooked, honestly, because they're going to finish cooking a little bit on the plate. That's the feeling I get every time I've had the shrimp there. It's almost like the steak at Crescent City or Ruth's Chris sort of snapping away on the iron plate as it makes its way to your table. But in this case, in a good way, the shrimp are just sort of finishing on the hot plate. So when you get them, they just have that fresh pop. Just a hint of char, all that garlic, and a little bit of lemon. Perfect. That's what you want from a Gulf shrimp. They're great. And then there's one more dish on that table, and I think it was the soft shell shrimp.
Mm. Yeah, tell me about these. I'm seeing these all over the place, or specifically at Sal's and Belchase. They got soft shell shrimp all over. Is this a new thing or not, Ian? Because I've been here a long time. It's the first I've heard. I've heard of soft shell crawfish before, and certainly crabs, but not shrimp.
Sally has been selling soft shell shrimp by the seashore since 1777. Just kidding. It is, it's the same idea as soft shell crabs. We can talk about oysters later if you want, Tommy. Soft shell shrimp is the same as crab in theory, right? They're molting, and so the shell is still on, but it's in a state where when you fry it up, it's quite nice. Or also broil it, by the way. Mm-hmm. I've had broiled softshell crabs at Galatoire's before, and I might again today. And they are wonderful in that condition.
Ian McNulty sighting Galatoire's this afternoon. It could happen. Go ahead. Anyway,
I do have the afternoon off. Yeah. Look out, people of the French Quarter. It is softshell shrimp. Is the same idea. So you're eating it's shell and all, and you really want these cooked right. And basically just when they're fried properly, meaning not overcooked, it you get this second level of crispiness. There's the crispiness you expect from fried shrimp, but then underneath that, sort of like an added layer of crunch, like the peanuts in your Snickers bar, in between the sweet plumpness of the shrimp. And it's a delight. And I've always assumed I'd seen these here and there. There was a restaurant up in Lakeview called Cava years ago that would get them occasionally. And the owner there, Danny, would tell me, oh, I have to go down to the dock in Lafitte to get them. And maybe that was the case back then. It really seemed like this dockside exotica that you had to have a guy hook up to pull aside for me. But I have been seeing them more often lately. So that tells me maybe something's changed. In this case, I know that Aviva is getting them from Anna Marie Shrimp, which is a fantastic seafood, I say company, it's a brand, it's a guy, Lance Nacio. He's a third generation Cajun hunter fisherman guy with a couple boats down there in Montague, Louisiana on the bayou, who's made a fantastic brand for local, sustainable, the stuff your grandparents grew up with, Louisiana seafood. So anytime you see the Anna Marie label or hear that thing name checked on a menu, you know it's going to be the real deal. Anyway, that's where the soft shell shrimp is coming from. And that was a special on the happy hour menu at Aviva. And that is a full circle around the $7 martini that they have there on special. Fabulous place.
Restaurant, reservations needed or not, or suggested?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you don't be afraid to drop in to the bar for happy hour, especially. But no, if you're going for a date or for two couples to get together, make a reservation for sure.
EVVIVA 2600 Dauphine. Where are we going next?
You want to talk a little Revion?
Sure.
Yeah, Revion is, of course, just the primer. It's the thing that happens in December, a lot of different restaurants. Sometimes it's compared to culinary because it's like a set course menu, for a multi-course menu for a set price. And it's sort of like the winter version of culinary in some people's minds, but that's not quite right because culinary is meant to be sort of a bargain to get into the restaurants in the summertime. Revion is much more of a celebratory meal, and often, and especially this year, can be quite decadent. You know, it's really about them putting together a pretty fabulous menu at these restaurants, and it plays out in a lot of different ways. But a couple that caught my eye, you know, I always go through the roster over 50 of them, and it is a great format if you're getting people together for a holiday outing, because it's not just, oh, let's pick a restaurant. It's like, oh, let's do a Revion. It's just a little more motivating factor, and the menus can sometimes be these fabulous offers. So I get asked all year long about turducken, even after Thanksgiving. It is a holiday thing. Gabrielle Restaurant on Orleans Avenue, Greg Sonier's restaurant up there, they have turducken on their Revion menu, in addition to daube glacé, that Creole, it's like a jellied beef spread. It's sort of like the beef version of hogshead cheese, which mostly resides in the memory of old people with Creole roots, but it comes back again often at Revion time. It's usually on the menu at Arno's too. Arno's always does a fantastic Revion, and they have a special thing too that I just have to mention. Every December, they do this teddy bear drive, and it's just incredibly touching. They ask people to bring in teddy bears, you know, a new teddy bear that bought at Walgreens or whatever.
So we're talking about Arno's here, not Gabrielle, or are we talking?
Yeah, this is Arno's now, yeah. Arno's, okay. And you drop off the teddy bear there, and Arno's collects them and then gives them to the New Orleans Police and Justice Foundation, which supports the cops. And the cops carry these teddy bears around when they come across a child on their beat who is witnessed a crime or been somehow traumatized. They give them a teddy bear, and here's a cop giving a kid a teddy bear. And I know it sounds a little sappy or whatever, but they do make a difference.
Let me jump in. If you've ever seen these police shows or whatever, the cops where they follow them out live or whatever, it makes all of the difference in the world to the child at that moment.
So every year I buy a teddy bear, and it's not pure selflessness. I take myself to Arno's French 75. I drop off the bear and I treat myself to a cocktail at that amazing den of elegant cocktails there within Arno's. And then if you go in for the Revion, they're going to take care of the full course of the meal. But a few more Revions that did catch my eye. Gris Gris, Eric Cook's restaurant in the Lower Garden District, the centerpiece of their Revion menu is basically everything that you would have on your platter if you went through the Christmas buffet at your aunt's house. It's like a Christmas ham, string bean casserole, stuffing, turkey gravy, probably a couple more things. And that's one course. Around that is the gumbo, the macaroni pie, and a dessert. And I think that's like $65 for that whole spread. And then they're one of a number of places doing great holiday cocktails in addition to the Revion menu. So there's other places that are really doing it up for Revion with cocktails, which is a kind of a fun way to go at it too. And then at the absolute peak of the list, I mean, some of these Revion menus I've been listing, they're like $65, maybe $70, $80 for this multi-course, four or five course spread. Restaurant August always does it up big for this, and they are taking it to a whole new level this year. Their Revion menu is eye-popping at $200. That's pretty high. You're not counting drinks in there yet, so that is exceptionally high. You're in Emerald's tasting menu territory almost with that. But their Revion menu, Tommy, it's something like seven or eight courses that are listed. One of them is a fruit de mer, the fruits of the sea, that is at least three, maybe four dishes all on its own. There's a separate course of caviar, another one of oysters. It looks incredibly decadent. I mean, there's seafood, there's a fish course, a meat course, and then you get into the desserts. I used up all my S's with the soft shell shrimp earlier.
And where are we up to now? Plural. I'm just trying to keep track here because people want to know.
Yeah, sure. That one's Restaurant August. Yeah. Restaurant and looks like that's kind of the peak of decadence for a Revion outing.
Gotcha.
That is a restaurant that was a major whiff on the Michelin guide this year, I thought. I mean, they got a mention, but I thought they should have gotten a star. And I think they also think so, too. And they are really making the case for the locals of what they're doing at Restaurant August, which is they're in a new chapter now, which is really, really special. It was one of the best meals I had this year was at Restaurant August over the summertime.
And where is that?
August, that's downtown. That's John Besh's original place. Been there, gosh, since 2001, I want to say. But it's across the street from the Windsor Court, down by the casino.
So yeah. When it comes to Revion dinners, what drives what? Does the chef say, okay, the Revion dinner is based on, as I understand it, people coming back from midnight mass and the spread would be laid out? Yes or no?
Traditionally. Yeah, yeah. The word Revion, the awakening, it comes from this old French Creole tradition, a religious custom where, yeah, people observant Catholics go to midnight mass for Christmas Eve, come back and break the fast with a spread that has been laid out on the sideboard. And, you know, it's this very sort of old-fashioned New Orleans, the age of the grand, you know, Creole era kind of image in your head. Well, it died away as, you know, more American tropes of Christmas took over in this still resiliently Creole city. It was, you know, sort of resigned to the history books, but it was brought back to life in a very different form. I mean, taking the name and the idea of a holiday feast and bringing it into restaurants and becoming modern. And so an interesting thing now is that chefs, restaurants are asked to make these menus in deepest summer. I mean, they are sweating to the oldies in August and September when the request comes along to put together these menus of stuffed this and breaded that and hearty this and
comfort
quail
dips,
and
right?
Rabbit. Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's like sweater weather food that you're asked to contemplate in the summer. But it all plays out now, and the weather's kind of perfect for that, isn't it?
Absolutely. Ian McNulty, we're out of time as always. Never enough time. I appreciate it as always, sir. We'll talk to you again next week, I hope.
I'm wearing those old-fashioned cocktail socks that you that Santa Claus or Tommy Tucker gave me one time. Yeah, those are going on for a jolly spree out there today. I'm taking the afternoon off, so look out, people of the French
Quarter. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Pace yourself.
Got to start somewhere, my friend.
You got it, Ian McNulty. Journey of 1,000 miles, right? Covers food, dining, culture, time, speaking, New Orleans Advocate. 9:39, 20 till 10, traffic now, WWL. My man JR standing by, 9:46, 14 till 10, waiting to enlighten us on sports betting. How you doing, JR?
I'm doing outstanding, man. You know what? We got Thanksgiving behind us. I went 3-0 on Thanksgiving. We've got, you know, obviously Christmas ahead of us, and this is my favorite time of year, not just because it's the holiday, but more importantly, the games are getting more important. There's a lot more on the line. Teams are starting to play harder. It's just a great time of year. Plus, college basketball, I mean, all we're doing is rolling in it. So here's what you want to do. Love the game tonight between North Texas and Tulane. 11-1, taking on 10-2. You guys already know, obviously, I don't need to tell you, this is a big game, okay? The winner of this game probably going to the college football playoff. So I love the matchup. Here's what I'm doing. All you got to do, text the word WIN, W-I-N, to the number 545454. I'm going to give you the winner of North Texas Tulane on the house, free of charge. You don't need a credit card. You simply text the word WIN to the number 545454, and I'm going to give you that game for free. And it comes to you via text message. So text the word WIN to 545454, and let's make some money.
JR, college football, you know, obviously, you know, it's changed, and I've been telling a story all morning. I was flipping around yesterday and stumbled upon. Have you ever seen the Canute Rockne story from 1940, this movie that was made in 1940? I love old movies, and they're talking about college football paying people and betting and all of that stuff, and I just laughed when I compared and contrasted to what it is today, but really what it was like really then anyway. But with that being said, things have changed as far as picking the games with who plays when and why and how and so forth.
You know, it's been a ridiculous influence that I never thought would ever, ever come into play. But over the last couple of years, you can't say that the refereeing has been suspect. I mean, giving them a compliment, mm-hmm. saying it's suspect. It has been downright awful. Last night's game, awful. It's one bad call after another, and they've got the technology today to get it right, and they're still getting it wrong. It's driving me insane. And, you know, that even brings me to college football, right? You and I have spoken all year. This was a down year for me in college football. And I don't say that often. Mm-hmm. We went 11 straight years over 60%. First time I'm not over 60%. It was still plus, but at the end of the day, we got to do a little better. And it's not anything other than the way we look at it, the transfer portal, the NIL, the protection of these players at the end of games when you're up. You know, if you're laying 7.5 and you're on a team that's up 14 and, you know, they know there's only going to be one possession for the most part, they bench their best players because they got to pay them. They got to protect their investment. And now the other team drives down the field, scores an easy backdoor touchdown, and you're left holding the bag because you lost by a half a point. It's happened too many times. Now, it doesn't happen in college basketball. That's the plus. And we've been killing it in the NFL. So, you know, there's ways to beat it, and that's what we do, and that is by changing our strategy. And that's what we had to do. We had to adjust on the fly throughout the college football season, lower our bets in college football, raise them in the NFL, and utilize a different strategy. And that's what I'm doing right now with all my players, where I guess you could say it's a little bit of a gear change just because it's college basketball now, and the information and the games are so much stronger that I'm utilizing what I call a rollover, and that's going three games at a time for the, you know, oncoming, let's say, 30 days.
So, you know, as you say that strategy, a long time ago I was playing golf with a guy for money. We were playing some other people, and I hit a shot that wasn't so good. And he said, "What were you thinking when you hit that shot?" And I said, "I don't know, ham sandwich? I just wasn't thinking." And the reason I tell that story is it comes to strategy. A lot of times when people bet, they don't have a strategy. Or when it comes to the long game, they don't have a strategy. You do.
You know, and that's when I look at it, and I was just talking to a guy yesterday about this. He's a physician, makes plenty of money, but doesn't do this to make money. He bets to entertain himself. Now, he does want to take it a bit more serious. That's obviously why he was having a conversation with me. But he said straight out, he goes, "JR, I feel like I've been playing checkers my whole life. It's just like that old saying, you know, everyone's playing checkers. We're playing chess." Mm-hmm. You know, if you're not thinking about your next move and the move after that and the move after that, all you're doing is throwing darts. At the end of the day, you're going to get lucky. You're going to have some wins. And even if you're a guy that can win more than you lose, without strategy, you're going to walk away a loser. And if you do walk away a winner, believe me, when you count up the amount of hours spent trying to make that money, and the amount of time divided by the amount of money that you made, it's going to look like you're getting paid like you're working in a penitentiary.
And the other thing is, it's not, you know, I was talking to somebody over the Thanksgiving weekend as well at a family gathering about sports betting. It's not so much about the money. It's about winning, right? It's about being right in your choice and winning over the long haul and the long average. You're not going to win every game. But if you have a winning record when it's all over, that's what it's all about.
Correct. And you know what? At the end, we're going to have bad days. I explain this to people. And in a 42-week season that I'm giving out games to my clientele, because I don't do baseball, I don't do MLB, throughout 42 weeks, if I'm going to win 27 to 32 weeks, that's my target, we're going to kill it. I mean, we are going to make a fortune. Because even when we lose, it's not like we're going 12 games under 500 in a week. Yes, we have bad days. Just last week, I went 0-3. 0-3 on a Wednesday. And I don't often give out that many games. So we get surprised and blindsided. It's about how you handle the losses and get back up, and how you build yourself back up without chasing. We're never utilizing a negative progression. It's always about using a positive progression. And again, that great strategy, along with games that win a lot more than they lose, is going to make you, and how I've turned, you know, countless bankrolls over 10, 20, 50, even 100 times over again. So text the word WIN to 545454. I'm going to give you the North Texas Tulane game absolutely free. It comes in a text message. Plus, look, if you're serious about making money and wanting to treat this a little bit differently, it doesn't mean you need a ton of money. There'll be a phone number in there for you to contact us and sign up for a small deal. So do yourself a favor, text the word WIN to 545454, and let me give you this North Texas Tulane winner on the house.
That's why I put up $5,000 of my own money, because I wanted to win. I want to win. It's not about the money. It's about winning college basketball, riding around, coming around. And JR's right. Look, I asked him about some golf. Let's keep this thing going. He was so hot with college basketball last year. He said, nope, take some time off, enjoy your winnings, right? And then I'll see you again next football season, which he did. College basketball season's here. I know you are especially hot when it comes to that. I'm excited. I'm pumped. Looking forward to it. You got a Lanyap choice for us? A little free pick on the air like you always do, JR?
Of course. I hope folks have been taking advantage of these games. I mean, we're now 10-4 on air. That's just every year, way over 70%. I really hope guys are taking advantage. You've got another big matchup this week, huge rivalry in the AFC. You've got the Dolphins going into New York to take on the Jets. You know, I mean, look, the Jets, yes, they've played a little bit better as of late. They're 3-9 overall. The Dolphins, I mean, this was a team that was 1-7 and now sitting 5-7, won 4 in a row. Did not cover against New Orleans last week with a backdoor cover, but this is a game that they want to absolutely hammer the opponent. These two teams do not like each other, and when it comes down to it, they're not close games, because one is going to take advantage of the other. And this year, it's without question, the Dolphins' high-octane offense that's going to be able to put a lot of points on the board and not slow them down with that Jets defense, and relying on a run game as the Jets do, they're just not going to be able to keep up points-wise. Look for the Dolphins not only to win, but easily cover that 2.5. Go ahead and lay the points on the road in this case. Expect them to win by 10 or more. Use the Dolphins minus the points.
Hey, JR, take us out, my friend.
As always, guys, I am here to do one thing and one thing alone.
Not
just
to
entertain you, but I'm here to make you money. So give us a shout. Just text the word WIN to the number 545454. I'm going to give you North Texas Tulane absolutely free. It's on the house. And then do yourself a favor and sign up by calling the phone number via text. Again, text the word WIN to 545454 to get Tulane North Texas on the house. And be sure to tune into my podcast, Bet Big, Talk Loud. That's Bet Big, Talk Loud. Guys, be safe, have fun, and let's go out there and make some money.
JR, you heard what I said. You also wake me up on Saturday morning, right?
Yes, I do.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you then. JR, everybody.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.